We are now recording.
Yep. Being recorded.
What the fuck? Hi, everybody. It's Movie the Podcast. It's the Real Buddies. It's Alec and Sean and TJ with no Gogs because, you know, Gogs had something to do.
But he forgot he had children.
He forgot about. RIP Gogs' calendar. This week, we watched Robert Townsend's Meteor Man. A very forgotten superhero film from the early 90s, which stars...
I wouldn't say forgotten. I've never forgotten this movie.
I haven't either.
This movie stars like
every all, black actor ever. Say,
every black actor and like most of like hip-hop from the 90s. It's like a lot of...
It's weird though because it's like besides Eddie Griffin, it's every black like... stage actor, you know what I mean? Like
it's very Don Cheadle in there, a very young Don.
Yeah,
Cheadle.
Yeah, true.
They're all doing their best Simon Phoenix impression in this movie. lords.
Even though this came out first, I think.
Did it really?
Oh yeah.
I think so. This came out in 91.
This way outpaces it. That's why it killed me.
I'm pretty sure Demolition Man was like 93.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why it killed me when they all had the things that said Simon Says and they all black dudes with blonde dyed hair.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. And then the guy has the slinky. It's a very colorful film. I can't wait to talk about James Earl Jones with a very memorable performance.
The most like bizarrely casted James Earl Jones performance.
Yeah, also, like, Sinbad is in the movie for some reason. Like, I don't really understand the point of his character, but we'll get into that.
Bill Cosby's just in the basement goon.
Yeah, Bill Cosby is the magical basement goon. So we got a lot to talk about. We watched Meteor Man. Again, no Gogs, but let's do what we do when we do when we do it. What did you all watch this week? Sean. I never start with Sean.
I rewatched all of I Think You Should Leave.
Oh, which, so good.
Like, I don't know if sketch comedy is still a popular thing in the current meta, but we all grew up on like a million sketch comedy shows.
Oh, yeah.
And this might be my favorite. It's up there with Kids in the Hall.
I'm right there with you on that one. I love it. It's like that in The State for me. Like, honestly, yeah. I think The State is still my favorite. But yeah, I Think You Should Leave is very, very good.
Well, The State's one of those things. He's only ran, what, like two or three seasons? It had a really short run.
Yeah, I think it was two seasons. And the thing that sucks about The State is that it's impossible to watch in its true form. You can't, like, the DVDs that they put out, and I don't think they ever put it out on Blu-ray, don't have the fucking music. So it kind of nerfs the sketches in a weird way.
It's kind of what, you know, to a lesser extent, the problem with all the old Beavis and Butthead releases, like divorced from the music videos. It's very weird.
Yeah, I agree.
But here's a I Think You Should Leave sketch that somehow I missed it with the fucking Scrooge.
I love that. I was laughing.
Scrooge, you cheap bastard. Yeah, you're a genius with this.
Oh, crap. More bad stuff is happening.
Hey, Scrooge, eat that goo. It'll give you the bony sense of humor. Like,
that dude is hilarious. He's also in Detroiters. That guy's fucking hysterical. I love that guy.
Besides that, I watched the last episode of Severance.
Oh, which was
the most recent one. It's so good.
Yeah, I'm going to be really sad after Friday when there's no more Severance till who knows when.
I don't know. It feels like they could wrap up the whole show, honestly, with this one, but I don't know if they will. I hope if they do another season that it doesn't just start kind of meandering like I was worried about at the beginning of this season.
Yeah.
Because you're getting at that tipping point.
Yeah, true. I don't know. I love the show so much. Like, I kind of want it to keep going. I'm too invested in the show.
They should just quit after season two and then make another one 20 years from now, assuming we're not all dead.
Right, of course.
But yeah, that's all I watched. Alec, what Lifetime movies did you watch?
Get ready.
Oh, no.
I found and watched Stalked by My Amish Boyfriend.
Oh, I'm glad you found it.
Even though TJ couldn't find it in his wealth of...
I'm sorry.
His wealth of pirate ships.
Did you use that weird one, that weird streaming service that I found that I texted? I forget what it was called.
No, that we actually had that already, because it's like it's the library one that's associated with the Enoch Pratt Library.
Oh no!
So Stacy has a she's a teacher, so we actually had that already. We watch some stuff all there every now and then, random. Nice. It's good for like lots of documentaries. It doesn't have as many good like movies. There's right. lots of documentaries. It's a library.
Sean's raising his hand. I don't think you can see it.
I can't because I don't watch the video.
Yeah, you're not missing anything.
Yes, Sean.
Oh, sorry. Just because you said documentary, normally I don't recommend YouTube videos. Can you guys hear me or am I frozen?
No, I can hear you.
Okay. There's a great YouTube documentary about Count Dante that I watched It's about 2 hours long this martial arts. Like, he's not like a fraud. He's just a psycho. And he's a guy that kind of like popularizes like the death touch in magazines. Alec, I'm sure you've seen pictures of these ads before, but I highly recommend that.
Mm. What's it called?
The channel is Napoleon Blown Apart. And he usually, you'd love him out because he does a lot. There's a lot of Simpsons references, a lot of video game references, but he usually does like long form videos on like MMA. But this one, he did a long form video about Count Dante, and it's fascinating. It's so good. But yeah, Napoleon Blown Apart.
Well, Stalked by My Amish Boyfriend did live up to the hype.
Hell yeah.
She definitely got stalked by her Amish boyfriend and then kidnapped by him and forced to live in an Amish society until she escaped.
Was she Amish?
No, she was English. He was Amish on Rumspringa.
Oh, I see.
And then he met her and then stalked her and then kidnapped her to his community. It was all that I hoped it would be.
There should be a metal band that dresses up like Amish people and called Rumspringer. It sounds like a metal word, you know? I think that could be a thing.
We watched two movies, a duology, if you will, that are not related at all. Actually, we didn't finish the second one.
The Sassy Sister film.
But we watched Boy in the Attic and Girl in the Basement. Boy in the Attic sucks. It's very boring, and it's just this kid who hides out in his family's attic.
That's not after that exciting.
After he's accused of murder. Yeah, it's not that great. I did not enjoy it.
So how was Girl in the Basement?
Well, we didn't get very far into Girl in the Basement because, although it stars Judd Nelson,
shit,
his daughter is like a wild child. So his solution to that is to lock her in a soundproof room in the basement.
Well,
and then after like 2 days, after like 2 days of her being locked in there, we turned it off when he started sexually assaulting her.
Oh my God.
We're like, that is your daughter, bro. That is awful. So we stopped watching that one.
That was
that kind of shit happens all the time. I hate to alarm you, but it is a lot more common than you think.
I'm aware of it happening, but I don't need to watch Lifetime movies about it.
That seems like pretty hardcore for a Lifetime movie.
Imagine having to testify about it. It sucks.
A bunch of them that are like that, I'm pretty sure.
Damn.
But it was directed by Elizabeth Rahm. If anybody is familiar, Detective Kate Lockley from Angel.
Shit. No way.
Yeah. Who is apparently directing Lifetime movies now.
Good for her.
Oh, the last thing I watched, which is the best of the bunch, and I highly recommend because it's so bad and so dumb and weird. It's called Lone Star Shark.
kind of cowboy shark.
This couple who's the woman's sister has recently committed suicide. So they decide to go on a trip to somewhere in Texas. They live in Texas, but somewhere else in Texas, to a lake. They get to the lake. The lake is like, they keep making it seem to be this huge lake. It's like a drainage pond. It's probably like 50 feet wide. Like,
I like where this is going.
But there's a shark in there that is summoned by hackers what? Place bets on if the people will live against the shark or not. So it's a weird combination of like.
Wait, hold on. You said it, like, you said summoned.
They like hacked into some like underground chamber and released the shark.
Oh, it's not like the dolphin and Johnny Mnemonic where it's got like the wire helmet.
No. But it's like a weird thing where rich people bet if they're gonna live or not. Them versus the shark. And hackers are taking bets, and all the hackers have hoodies with hoods pulled up over their heads.
This sounds incredible.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. It's on an app called Xumo.
Xumo?
X-U-M-O. And they have, like, 9 original movies on there, and they're all pretty much asylum quality movies.
No shit.
But fuck it, hey, if this movie, we didn't watch this.
Xumo?
It is. Yep. It's a free app. The movies are free. It had ads, but it was free. An hour and 5 minutes long.
All you can stream.
I'm looking incredible.
I'm looking at their page now. For some reason, the front page of the thing is promoting Netflix, which seems
counterproductive.
It seems problematic.
But
I guess Xumo. Okay, sorry. I'm learning all this stuff about Xumo. Is like a streaming box. They're like a Roku.
Ow.
So you know
they but they do have some originals. So they're, I guess, producing some of their own content too.
That's too funny.
I say producing in air quotes.
Yeah, you're right, because it says they have something called Xumo Play, which has 15,000 on-demand titles.
But they also they have a certain part of their thing. You can go in and look at the movies, but they also have like live TV, like kind of like Roku does, where it has like the old Western channel that has like a bunch of public domain Westerns and shit on all the time. And we actually, that's how we stumbled across this. We were looking at the movies coming up and I found Lone Star Shark. Hour and 5 minutes long.
Perfect.
Can't get much better for a stupid movie than that.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And it was produced by B22 Films.
B22?
Just ripping off A24 left and right.
I didn't even catch it. Yeah, that's funny. B22.
It is tremendous.
It sounds incredible.
It's confusing as shit. It makes no sense. Nothing they do makes any sense. There's a scene where the boyfriend decides, or the husband decides, he's going to sacrifice himself so his wife can swim to shore and live. Because he already got like bitten by the shark, so he's bleeding anyway. She agrees. He jumps in the water, sacrificing those. She just stays on the boat. She doesn't even try. So he just kills himself for nothing.
For no reason.
It makes no sense. Typical. She's like, okay, woman. I'm ready. And he jumps in the water, and then she just watches him get eaten by the shark. It's so dumb. I loved it so much.
I might have to watch this one. I have to.
It's nice and short. Like, for an episode of a TV show, you can watch a bad movie. But it's nothing wrong with that. It's bad in the best way. It's a hilarious bad movie. Yeah,
sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's all I watch. We're a couple of episodes into season 2 of a Netflix show called Mo, which is excellent. It's a spinoff of what's the name of it? It's a Hulu show named Rafi.
Rafi?
Rafi, yeah,
I watched all of Mo. It's really good.
Yeah, the second season's like, we're a couple episodes in. We can't watch too many because it gets dark at times. We don't watch too many in a row.
I never even heard of this.
He is a Palestinian refugee? He's an illegal Palestinian, but he's working to try to get his green card.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom and his brother also, they were like, I guess, if I remember correctly, from Palestine, their dad moved them to Kuwait right before Palestine got attacked, like, in the 70s.
Okay. Yeah.
And then they emigrated to America, and they've been illegal the whole time, but they're working on getting, like, asylum.
Good luck nowadays.
It's really funny at points. Like, this dude is fucking hilarious, but also at times it's really dark and sad. It's, like, a really good mix of emotions. The dude that plays Mo is fucking tremendous. He's so good. Yeah, he's so, he just It's really good. I think you would like it. And season two stars maybe Movie the Podcast alum, Simon Rex.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The dark jokester. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in season two. I was like, wait a minute. That's fucking Simon Rex.
Wait a minute. Is he the Israeli restaurant owner? Is that Simon Rex?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even recognize him.
It barely even looks like him.
He wasn't the dark jokester. So you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, he wasn't the dark jokester or the character from like Scary Movie 9.
You know, or in Red Rocket, which is somehow he's really good in that movie. Which
he's
just
really,
doesn't
he's
make
really good
any
in,
fucking sense.
He's really good in most so far. Maybe he's finding a late career niche.
Would you call it the Big Mo? Remember when WWE was pushing that all the time? Yeah.
And it also has season two also has that Mexican American stand up with the Edgar haircut that you've seen on all the TikTok reels and shit. I'm sure you know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly who you're talking about, yeah.
I haven't seen him, so I haven't gotten that far into it. We're only like 3 or 4 episodes in, but it is excellent. It's a really good show. Highly recommend. TJ?
I just watched one thing, and it's a movie that it kind of came and went from theaters, and it was a trailer that I thought looked really interesting, but then the movie came out, and it got pretty negative reviews. And I kind of stayed away from it, and then Red Letter Media just did a video on it, and I didn't watch the whole video.
Those fucking hacks.
I love Red Letter Media.
Those absolute dildos.
They're great.
They rip off our theme.
How?
Podcasts about movies.
They don't even have a podcast. They're on YouTube.
Shut up.
But anyway, they put a video about this movie, and they were like, I didn't watch the whole thing. They just said that they both liked it. So I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try. I watched Steven Soderbergh's Presence. And I really liked it. It's a movie that I don't know. Like it's a movie that I probably like in theory, if I describe this movie, I'd be like, this sounds terrible, but it's a ghost story, but like told from the ghost perspective, kind of not really from the ghost perspective. It's just the POV is basically from the ghost's perspective the whole time. The camera's constantly like whipping around the house. And you kind of eavesdrop in on this family that's going on. And really, like, not a whole lot happens. But, like, the dialogue is just enough where they give you these breadcrumbs where you think the story is going to go one way. And then the ending is, like, completely different. And I thought it was, like, really effective. The thing is, though, like, the way that the trailer showed this movie, I thought this movie was going to be, like, a horror movie. Like, kind of like a suspense, kind of haunted house kind of movie. It's not that at all. I don't really even know what the hell this movie really is. It's like a family drama, if anything. Because like there is obviously a supernatural element, but like it's not like harped on, and it's not scary. Like it's not. I know I always say like horror movies aren't scary, but what I'm trying to say is that the intention of this movie isn't trying to be scary at all. But I found it really compelling. I actually really liked it by the end of the movie. I thought it was really good. It was very different, and it's short. It's like I think it's just over an hour and a half long, so it doesn't overstay its welcome. And I thought that, you know, the movie most of the time it looks like, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Steven Soderbergh is like famous for like shooting things in weird ways. Like he shot that one movie, I can't think of the fucking name. It's like a movie that I feel like only I watched. I think it's called like Unsane or something. A movie I really fucking liked. He shot that on an iPhone, and I didn't know that until after I saw the movie. But this whole movie looks like it was shot on a fucking drone, like one of those like flying drones. And the way that the camera like whip pans around the house and around the family. But I really like the movie a lot. I don't know, like, it's one of those movies where I'm not sure who I could recommend it to, because it's kind of like, it's kind of boring, but like kind of fascinating at the same time. Like, it's like an experience. I don't know. I really liked it. It's called Presence. Would highly recommend it. I again, your mileage may vary, because like on another day, I might have found this movie really boring, but there was something about this movie that just I felt really compelled by it. I don't know. I thought it was good. Yeah, Sean, go ahead. Go ahead, Sean. You couldn't hear me. You raised your hand. You can one more time. You're breaking up. Try. You still sound like you're in like the chaos dimension. Try one more time. I'm just gonna vamp for a minute. Try to reconnect, Sean. Maybe that'll help. I don't know. I'm gonna vamp for 1 second. There's only one other movie that I can compare this to, and it's nothing that either one of y'all have seen, so it doesn't really matter. But it reminds me of Gaspar Noé's Enter the Void, which is a movie literally from like, so the beginning of Enter the Void, this guy dies of a drug overdose. And then he literally, from the rest of that movie, the movie is in first person. And then he dies of a drug overdose. And as he dies, his vision like elevates. And then the rest of the movie, like he follows his sister around. And then eventually he literally like goes to like the afterlife. But it's the only movie I can even kind of compare it to. I think Enter the Void is a much better movie. But I thought it was interesting. Sean, you want to try one more time? No, damn it.
No, guess not.
Technical issues. I also watched Battle Royal for like the 800th time. I still really love that movie. That's like a comfort movie for me. I just popped it on after I watched Presence because I couldn't decide what new movie to watch. Oh, I think Sean left, but he's still here. Very strange. Oh, there you are. Oh, God. Sean has now become the haunted presence. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can. Thank you. No, yeah, you're good. Have you
seen anything about this movie?
God damn it.
It's a horror movie. It's from a dog's point of view.
One more time. It's called
Good Boy.
Well, so there's a movie called Good Boy that I think I talked about on the show that's about this guy that's like he's like a dog. They make him a dog and it's like a rich person, it's like a sexual thing, and that movie sucks. I think Sean's talking about there's a new horror movie that's coming out that's from the perspective of a dog. I don't know if it's out
yet. I thought it was called Good Boy also.
It probably is. Oh, now you sound fine. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about a movie from the perspective of a dog, but I mean, I'll watch it. I watched this. I was really, like I said, people were so negative on this movie. Like critics that I like, I was like, oh, I guess I'll skip this one, but I put it on the Plex anyway. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I ignored like those critics. That's why you should. Now you sound great. So.
Is it like a family drama, like a ghost story kind of thing? Is it that kind of deal or?
You know, I'm surprised they didn't bring that up when it's similar. It's definitely similar but like in Ghost Story, I feel like the ghost, I mean, that is like explicitly from the ghost point of view. And the ghost is like a character in that movie. Whereas this, the ghost isn't really like a character. And I don't want to give too much away. I mean, not that there's a ton to give away in the movie, but there's a point where they like the family gets desperate and they contact this person that's supposed to be a medium. But they're like, oh, this person's full of shit. They don't know what they're talking about. And the medium's like, well, the presence in your house doesn't know what they're supposed to do either. They're also confused. And I was like, well, that's kind of clever. Because, like, again, like, it doesn't – that way you can have, like, this presence in the house. But, like, it's not – it doesn't have, like, a goal, right? It's not like the fucking crow.
It's like the shit that lives in your ceiling fan that makes your daughter a slut.
Right, exactly. We all hate that stuff, but it's the only reason I ever got laid. So thank you. Thank you, Black Mold. But anyway, I really like Presence and I love Battle Royal, which is a movie that I honestly think is like one of the best movies like ever. I don't know. I love that fucking movie a lot. But yeah, that's all I watched. So let's get into Meteor Man. I should have pulled up a fucking synopsis because I'm bad at it. Unless any of you want to do the honors, I'll pull one up right now.
Yeah, pull one up.
I mean, I can give it a shot.
All right, go ahead, Sean.
Okay, smash cut to respectability politics. Robert Townsend is a mild-mannered Okay, that landed good.
That was a good one.
A mild-mannered educator who lives in D.C., but it's actually Baltimore.
And real quick, it's so funny, all of us being from the Baltimore area, like, it's so obviously Baltimore. Like,
you cannot hot swap any city for DC, because, like,
no.
DC, because of the way it's built and the structures, and they can only be so tall or whatever. Like,
yeah.
You can do Baltimore for Philly, you can do Philly for Boston. Like, you can get away with that. You can't switch out DC. It doesn't work.
It's like, what was that Die Hard movie with Timothy Elephant? That one was also supposed to be in DC, but they filmed it in Baltimore, and you could
they filmed it Woodlawn.
Yeah, they filmed it.
At one point, it said that it was on the Beltway, and part of the Beltway is that.
Yeah,
around the Beltway several times.
Also, I'm pretty sure in that movie he goes from Baltimore to like Quantico in like an hour. It's like,
wait, yeah,
Anyway, that is something that only like people from around here are going to notice, though, because like. I don't know. To me, it stuck out like a sore thumb. Also, and I'm sure you might get into this, Sean, but James Earl Jones, if the first time you see him, he's wearing an Orioles shirt. But then later on in the movie, he's just wearing like any team. So,
yeah, well, he's wearing like a Satchel Paige or Jackie Robinson Monarchs jersey. I couldn't catch the number.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah, hell yeah.
So Robert Townsend is playing Denzel Washington as Sidney Poitier, but funny. And he's a teacher. The town, and we all grew up in this area.
Sure.
Is terrorized by like a hysterical street gang. Like we all grew up around like crime and criminals in some extent or another in Baltimore. I don't recall besuited, like everybody's dressed like Steve Harvey, fucking like solid gold dancing, like gang. The outfitting of this gang is prohibitively expensive, and they are engaged in drugs.
And they have tiers. They have They have the juniors and then the super juniors. Like,
they're like a British soccer team.
Yeah, they have the Golden Lords, the Junior Lords, the Baby Lords.
Baby Lords.
Who are literally like six-year-olds with suits and golden hair.
Karate Larry. And like, you're not buying those suits for kids off a shelf. That's all getting tailored. So like, I don't know what's going on around there. So there's also some a hullabaloo about how bad the kids are. So it's also kind of like a Stand By Me. It's touched on very briefly with Wallace Shawn complaining about his Camaro on his, he has this beautiful Mustang on this city educator salary, which okay. Robert Townsend is in a meteor strike and gains every superpower somehow.
Yeah. He really does get every superpower, including X-ray vision, but only works enough where you don't see them naked, which I thought
was interesting. You can just see he has like X-ray spec vision. He doesn't have X-ray vision.
He also had X-ray hearing. He can hear whatever he was seeing through the walls too.
He's got the Duff Gardens glasses.
He also has the Homer or the Herb Powell dog talking invention superpower.
Yes, I was thinking about that. I was like, when did Superman? Because, like, I love one thing I do love. I don't really like Superman that much, but I love, like, Superman from the 50s because they gave him, like, the dumbest power set. I was like, could he ever talk to dogs?
I don't think so.
Probably. I don't know.
I mean, I can talk to dogs. Like,
that is true.
Yeah.
Like, they don't listen, but I can talk to them.
It's a fair point. Well, it translated it to English, so.
This also has like one of my favorite tropes that you don't really get anymore in that, like, you know, particularly black movies in the late 80s, early 90s, they would introduce a woman who is like light skinned and sort of good looking, but gave a speaking role to, even though she can't act.
Yeah.
Which is this nurse in this movie.
She was pretty good looking, though. I will give her that.
Yeah. And then, you know, the neighborhood wants, I do appreciate that this is a very like low stakes movie.
Yeah.
But the neighborhood wants to take advantage of him. James Earl Jones is playing like a theatrical Radio Raheem who's ? gay. I'm not really sure what's going on with him. Eddie Griffin is very horny. John Witherspoon or Clarence Williams, I can't remember off the top of my head now. Even
John,
I just watched
John
this.
Witherspoon was the fake meteor man in the news.
He shows up to steal Meteor Valor. There's the Spider-Man costume scene. Meteor Man also has like,
at which point his mom just cackles uncontrollably.
His mom for like is
5 minutes. She is
deeply, deeply damaged. Also, shout out to Robert Guillaume, who's in a thankless role as the father, but that guy's like dripping aura. Like, that guy's great.
Oh, that guy feels like he's in the wrong movie, because that guy's trying is like, that guy is really putting it in. You know, that guy,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
what do I know that guy from, Sean? Because that guy's been
Benson. On a movie.
Shit. How did I miss that?
He's another one of these like super like stage actors. I mean, Townsend's a stage guy too.
Townsend, and then it shows.
Yeah.
He's not very good at this. Nobody, you know what? Nobody's very good in this except for maybe the guy that's the head of the Golden Lords.
I don't know. James Earl Jones is pretty great, and Luther Vandross is pretty great.
Yeah, and Be Real is fun, and so is Tretch, but like James Earl Jones. I think James Earl Jones is like spectacularly miscast in this role.
Yeah,
I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. And then, you know,
can we talk about Sinbad, who like I don't know a delicate way to say this, but like he plays like the, like, I assume they're trying to imply that, you know, he's like mixed or whatever because he's light skinned, but he's like, there's, he's just in the movie for like 5 minutes, but he goes to Robert Townsend and he's doing like the super African thing. He's like,
he is on I don't know if it was FD Signifier or Lil Bill coined this. He is on the Hotep spectrum.
Yes. But like, he's faking it. Cause he goes to Robert Townsend. He's like, this is my first black girlfriend. And it's like, it's a really weird character. And I thought he was going to play more into like the end of the movie, but like, he kind of just shows up for two scenes and then he's not in the movie anymore. It's like,
it's almost like Robert Townsend watched the movie. And was like, this doesn't work. Right. But we paid him. So we better leave him in for a scene. Or else the studio is going to be like, why the fuck do we give Sinbad $1 billion to be in this movie? Yeah,
it was really strange. Because, like, we say this a lot about different characters in movies. You could cut the Sinbad scenes out and you wouldn't miss anything. Because he has nothing to do with the plot. Yeah, like, but
at that point, Sinbad's probably the second most famous actor in the movie.
That's a good point.
Like, at that point in time.
That is.
Because, like, it's probably James Earl Jones, then Sinbad, then, I mean, Don Cheadle now, but he wasn't famous then.
He wasn't famous then. No, this is like very young Don Cheadle. Also, the hilarious drive-bys in this movie. Like,
also, there's a shout out to the lady. I forget her name, the actress. She's been in a million movies. She plays the older nurse,
she's so funny. Yeah,
she's also I don't know if it's in Don't Be a Menace. She's in another movie we love where she's like, you'll be walking down the street with three shoes, two on your feet and one in your ass. I can't remember the role, but I do remember that
lady's hilarious. She's like, I'm cute. It's just because she got a little boot.
She can do what she got that I don't got. Yeah,
that lady's
a little pencil legs. This was before, I guess, like, fat booties were acceptable.
Right, yeah.
Also, like, shout out to Robert Townsend for having Sinbad in the movie and not doing the ultimate 80s, 90s thing of having him just do his act in the movie.
Oh, God,
every movie he's been in / Dennis Leary has been in.
Yeah, God.
And then there's some, you know, mild gang violence, a bunch of shootings that really amount to nothing. And in the most Baltimore-esque scene in the movie, everybody is strapped. This entire neighborhood is fucking locked and loaded, and they sort of chase everybody out. Bill Cosby shows up with his extra piece of meteor because the meteor at some point in the movie starts working on like Green Lantern theory, and you have to touch it every once in a while to get it working. Also, can we talk about Robert Townsend's insane power to be able to like psychometrically read Jet Magazine?
But like, I didn't understand that power. No, it's like 15 minutes, isn't it, or something?
No, he says like 30 seconds.
Yeah, he can read anything, but he doesn't retain any of the information. I'm like, that's just like me when I read a regular book at normal speed.
situation? Like, I guess they thought it was cool as like a parlor trick. And after like 20 minutes of these insane parlor tricks, Eddie Griffin's like, you do have superpowers. And Robert Townsend's like, that's what I've been trying to say. But instead of doing it by like flying or throwing the refrigerator, he does it in the ways that you would try to convince a small child that you also had superpowers by pretending like you know what the dog's talking about.
Can we talk about
it? He does it in the cheapest way possible for a movie.
Yeah, yeah, that's another thing. Oh, this movie, like I was telling Alec before we started recording, I appreciate this movie because they clearly didn't have like any kind of special effects budget, but they're like, fuck it, we're gonna do it anyway. Like the flying and stuff, and they rode around it because they're like, he's scared of heights, so he's only
first
flying.
Yeah, the first time he starts flying, like maybe someday I'm gonna go over to Sphere of Heights, he's like 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah, yeah. That was funny.
That was pretty funny. And then like there's a scene where at the end of like the big fight at the end where he's supposed to be like super fast, but it just looks like Looney Tunes because they put like the cloud over it and he's like hitting him, and oh man. I mean,
one thing that did kind of throw me about this movie, like normally I can like, you know, deal with problematic people in movies, but like every time I saw Bill Cosby, I was just like, I fucking can't, because he's acting like he's on date rape drugs.
Hold on.
Okay.
One of the earliest scenes you see of Bill Cosby, and you cannot watch this without fucking thinking about it. So he makes coffee, right? And he's like dumping stuff in the coffee, and I'm like, I bet you are. It's rough. It's very rough. And I'm sure getting Cosby was like a huge get for this movie, because like Cosby was an amazing star. Yeah,
we forgot about he Cosby. Was in it. He's probably more famous than Sinbad at that point.
Oh yeah, Bill Cosby's like insanely famous back then.
He's literally just down there gooning, and you know they paid him like a third of the top line budget to be in this movie, to have like lines.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, no lines. His only lines were barking.
Can we talk about Eddie Griffith first? Oh, go ahead, Sean. Sorry.
I do appreciate this gang with their chants where they're just yelling. I think at one point they're saying drugs over and over again. They're just going drugs. Like,
also the leader whose name eludes me right now. Like, he has a slinky, and that's like a big deal for like most of the movie, and then it's just gone. Like, why did we need it in the first place? Like, he's like life is like a slinky, and he's like, you don't know where it's gonna go. It's like, yeah, you know where a slinky's gonna go.
You know exactly where it can only go one way.
It's kind of how slinkies
work.
It's kind of the entire point of a slinky is you know exactly where it's going.
Like, if it starts going up the stairs, that's a whole different issue you've got. Yeah,
then you're dealing with, like, quantum physics. Now, I want to talk briefly about Eddie Griffith's character, who's just horny. That's his whole... He's a scientist, and he's horny, so he's got two beats. But there's a point in the movie where the gang, the Lords, are after Meteor Man, right? And they're trying to track him down, and they want to kill him, right? So after, Robert Townsend's like, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. And then the next scene, Eddie Griffin, Eddie Griffin, Peter's brother. Eddie Griffin, he goes to the mall dressed in the Meteor Man costume to get laid, and like has no like no worry that like he's gonna
like
get
you
killed
you know
by the
you know
gang.
That's gotta be Mandaman Mall, right? Like it has to be.
Yeah, but like he doesn't. Like, he literally just had this heart-to-heart with his best friend about how he's worried about getting killed. He's like, I'm going to steal your suit and get some pussy. It's like,
well, he doesn't care if he gets killed.
Also, those guys walk in the mall, and they're just guns just out. It's just like, Eddie, whatever.
It's like 1984 Miami in there. Like, Eddie Griffin's one of those guys who's like a really, really, really funny stand-up, but has never been funny in a movie, I don't think.
What about
Undercover Brother?
Undercover Brother, you're right.
Undercover Brother rocks.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I can't think of another example, though.
I saw that in the theater.
Hell yeah.
That movie is tremendous.
Yeah. I like Undercover Brother.
But this movie is like, it's fun to talk about, and like I remember it fondly, but it is like,
it's not
for a movie that's an hour and a half. It's like kind of tedious. Like there's like these like fucking block meetings that go on for days.
Well, he doesn't get his powers. I mean, I checked the time code. It's like almost an hour in until he actually gets his fucking powers, and it's like, oh my god, like get to the point already. It takes like, so long.
It does feel like there's more to this movie that got cut out, and thankfully, I guess, because that scene with Wallace Shawn, he is in this scene where they're in the break room talking about transferring the kids amongst classes, and it is not addressed ever again.
No.
He's just gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And Wallace Shawn was the thread, right? That was the thread of this movie.
I forgot why we were watching this movie until he popped up. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Goggs did mention it in text, but he is doing the... Like, they call each other that. They call me that. He's doing that.
Yes, guy. Yes. Oh my God, you're right.
From fucking the Boondocks.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, I there's like, I mean, this movie is kind of charming in a way, but man, it takes kind of forever to get to where it's going. And like, I know a lot about Robert Townsend, and I'm not sure why. Maybe because of Hollywood Hustle.
Well, you know what it was? Because they had $9 million. He had like a bunch of HBO, like, and they weren't quite stand-up specials, and they weren't quite Spalding Gray things.
Yes.
But they were like these 2-hour, like, almost variety shows. Like, I remember they had Farters Anonymous or whatever, and they blow out the candles. But that shit was on HBO every fucking day.
That must be why. Because, like, but like, honestly, he's like, he's kind of a charisma vacuum in this. Like, he's not
good.
Very good in this movie as the lead at all. Like,
he's playing it like kind of earnestly.
Yeah.
But the movie's ridiculous.
Yeah. He's way too mild mannered.
Yeah.
For the mild mannered character.
Honestly, and this is going to be the only time I've ever said this in my life, Sinbad could have been the lead in this, and I think it would have been better. You need somebody like sillier and more charismatic to be in this role.
Like Damon Wayans, blank
or man. Eddie Murphy.
Damon Wayans would have been incredible. Yeah, of course. Damon, any of the Wayans. Like, well,
maybe not Sean.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. Like, I know Robert Townsend directed and wrote this, so like,
yeah.
It almost feels like, you know, sometimes with like rock bands, like the worst song is the one where the guitar player is like, well, I'm going to sing this song. You know, yeah. I write all the songs.
Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash?
Yeah. Or see like any Oasis song that Noel decides to sing. But this kind of feels like that, right? Like he's like, well, I wrote it. I directed it. I should star in it.
But
it's
wrote Hollywood Shuffle and that movie's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, that movie's great. That movie's really good, but it's a different kind of movie.
Yeah.
This is just, I don't know, man. Like
it is sweet. Like, I appreciate, like, it's like, okay, like they're showing like, you know, black characters in a positive light. And it's not like, you know, it's very centered around like, you know, the neighborhood.
Community.
It's cultural. And, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's just boring.
It's very boring. Yeah. It's
and
super
again,
boring.
Like the street gangs are so like absurd. You know what I mean? I know the movie's kind of absurd, but like, their whole enterprise is confusing at best.
They're like straight out of the Warriors. Like they may as well be dressed as baseball players and have baseball bats.
I did appreciate Karate Larry or whatever. The little
that
kiss.
Shit, that shit was funny. I don't know if you guys agree with this, but you know what this movie needs? Another wacky gang. Like two wacky gang. Oh, like, you know, you need more crime. You need like.
Well, I thought that was going to happen when they showed like the syndicate boss table.
Yeah.
And there was like the guy, like the guy from like Saudi Arabia and the guy from Africa. Like I thought you were going to see like a bunch of those gags, but then at the end, they all just show up themselves. They don't have their gags with them, which is weird.
Like the UN crime meeting. Like it's crazy. The fucking Yakuza guy, like nobody has any lines.
It reminded
but it's
me
hysterical.
Of that Simpsons bit where they're at the Republican convention in Springfield or what, or the Republican meeting. And it's like McBain, like Dracula, and like Mr. Burns. Like, it's just like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like
it's like the scene
movie,
from,
the movie needed more wackiness, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
There's a scene in, oh fuck! What is that movie called? The one we love with Brandon Lee and Showdown Little Tokyo.
Oh,
where they have a multicultural crime meeting where it's like bikers and Yakuza guys and like aliens and all kinds of shit.
I need to watch that fucking movie again. What a fucking banger that movie
I had to
is.
Buy that from the Warner Archive. They had to press the disc for me.
That rules. I mean, let's go back to that movie for a second. They put Dolph Lundgren in charge of Asian crime.
Because he's better being Asian than Brandon Lee. Like, canonically. He doesn't just think that. That actually bears out.
You're part of the Asian Crime Bureau. What is this? Some fucking, like, Daily Wire bullshit? Like, the Asian Crime
like,
Bureau.
He lives in, like, a pagoda in L.A. That guy broke his own neck. Yeah, this shit happens sometimes, dog. I don't know what to tell you.
You have the biggest dick I've ever seen on a man. God, what a good movie.
I want this movie to be like a little, I want it to tweak a little bit and it could be like kind of like a soft classic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's way ahead of everybody else superhero wise. I mean, because Blade's not for a while yet, Spider-Man's not for quite a while yet. they had the Superman movies. And I guess this kind of does remind me of like a Superman, like a Dick Donner kind of Superman movie, but it's just kind of like, it doesn't have the same kind of charm that it would if it came out in 1978 or whatever. You know what I mean?
No. And I feel like, again, for me, like, and it's interesting you bring up the Superman connection, because I feel like the Superman movies are like very earnest and like kind of serious, except for like the Lex Luthor parts. And that's what this kind of feels like. And I feel like you could go, I think you need to go sillier with this because the premise is silly. And
I've never wanted to say this, but this movie is like dying for a love interest or something. Because you feel like Robert Townsend's going to be like, oh, he's going to defend the students and all the students are bad. It's a Stand By Me thing. That doesn't really happen.
No.
Like he's connected to the community in as much that he lives there, but it's more the like he's mildly annoyed by the community.
Well, and you know what I mean? Also, they like set the groundwork in the very beginning because, again, this is something that's touched on once and left alone. But like in the very, very beginning, because Robert Townsend is a musician, Eddie Griffin is like, hey, you broke up with Stacy like 4 months ago. You need to get out there and find some new women. And like, I thought maybe they were going to introduce a love interest. It's like you need something. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Also, he left his base in plain view in the back of his car. Like, how did you expect them not to steal your fucking base? Come on, man. Like, you just live in the city. You got to hide that shit.
I mentioned it in the text message, but when it opens with James Earl Jones and he looks like Billy Kincaid, the kid killer from Spawn, I was like in tears almost.
The thing that I noticed most of in the opening of this movie is it was some Michael Jackson song I've never heard, but
oh man, how much was that?
Well, actually that, but no, I just remember that, like that sound of that, like, dang, dang, I can't even do it. But that old 80s, like over every like hip hop song. It's like, it's so bad. It's like, oh God. Anyway. Yeah. That Michael Jackson song must've cost a fucking fortune.
Yeah.
And I didn't check the look. I'm sure they have a soundtrack for this movie. I wonder, I don't know if any of you, I know Sean's a big Michael Jackson head. If that was an original song for this movie, because it might have been.
It may have been, but that's, you're pushing up on like, Michael Jackson.
Thanks
song, like,
to IMDb. It is not. It is on his Dangerous album, but it's called Can't Let Her Get Away. Which is very creepy.
Cheaper sounding Jackson song.
Yeah. But this album was released. This is there was a comic book adaptation.
Yeah, they did like a 6-issue.
It was a sequel. Yeah. And there's also, wow, I didn't know this. You guys will appreciate this, especially Alec, who is a big New Warriors fan. There is a Meteor Man meets Spider-Man and Night Thrasher comic that came out.
Oof.
The Night Thrasher. Everybody remember
Black Hero meets Black Hero, and we'll throw Spider-Man in so someone will buy it. That's when they would just put NFL Super Pro featuring Spider-Man. Like, what the fuck's he doing there?
Now everybody on Facebook is posting about Combo Man.
Who?
Remember Combo Man?
The hell no.
Superhero that got his power from eating combos.
Oh, I do remember those. Hell yeah.
Dude, yeah, I've really seen like good. 5 Facebook posts about him in the past few days.
That rocks.
They need to bring back NFL Super Pro.
Have you ever seen the, there used to be, it used to be a pretty early like Tumblr meme, but like canonically Jesus Christ is in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, he's
Marvel,
in a Ghost Rider comic.
Well, Marvel published like Bible comics in the 70s. So people
used to have one of those. It was like the story of Easter. Yeah. I got it in one of those those multi packs at Ollie's where you get like 10 comics for a buck. Oh, and it was just a bunch of random shit.
Yeah. And featuring Tigra and Wonder Man.
One of them was Jesus. That's where I got my Blood Ties comics. Remember Blood Ties from
yes.
DC?
Yes. Holy shit. Those Blood Ties.
Parasite things that would suck the powers from heroes or something.
Okay. You want to go way back. That's when Guy Gardner turned into Warrior.
When he got all the shit come out of his chest. We can't have like 3 Green Lanterns. That's stupid. Let's make him a T-1000 for some reason.
God. I know it'll never happen, but if I ever got all the money to make a movie, like if I got to make, I would make a comic book movie based on like the stupidest shit in comics. Like, just like put DC, that on the screen.
I don't know what it is. Like, every comic company has had bad runs, right? But oh, DC, like from Crisis on Infinite Earth through Zero Hour up until, I don't know, Grant Morrison got there, was horrendous.
Like, oh my god, yeah, there's a lot of
shit. Like, Warrior wasn't even the worst. Like, it wasn't even in the bottom tier of the shit they were making.
I can't think of the name of the character. It's something is blood related, but there was a character that came out of that storyline that Alex talking about, and his name was like Blood Pile or something. It was something.
Are you talking about Bloodwind, the Spawn ripoff?
Blood Wind? Bloodwind? Yeah.
Like with a wind with a Y?
Oh my god.
Black hero with the white suit. He was in the, he was prominent in the Death of Superman.
Oh no, that's a different character. No.
Oh, I was going to say he was part of that.
Like, I do remember that character.
Awful Justice League.
Yeah. That got beat by Doomsday. Like, of course they did.
Fire, Ice, Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, Bloodwind, and Maxima.
And I want to say Guy Gardner when he had the yellow ring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like nothing was worse than when you crack open one of those Ollie's packs and you get like Warriors of Plasm. Do you remember it was like the Jim Shooter's like fourth attempt at making a comic book series? What?
I was at the Pittsburgh Comic Con when
Shooter there, because he's from Pittsburgh. Okay.
Yes. And it was like their like big reveal.
Oh no.
It was like a big deal. And we got a bunch of like free Warriors of Plasma swag and all this crap. It was terrible. It was called Broadway Comics. I don't remember all that shit.
Because I think Lorne Michaels paid for it.
Is that why? Because Broadway. Yeah.
The Broadway Video, Broadway Comics.
Oh, I didn't know.
The great story about Warriors of Plasm, not to get too far into a tangent, but I guess it was originally just called Plasm, but Marvel, because they just hated Jim Shooter. They still hated him. Oh, yeah. They sued the fuck out of him. He ended up winning, I think, but they changed the name and he won like 1 cent or something, like, but had to pay like $12 billion in court costs.
Marvel have a character called Plasm?
It was like one of those Marvel UK, like, I think in like Death's Head or some shit.
God.
Yeah.
We should just make a side podcast called "Aren't Comics Stupid?" And just
bring let's talk about Knights of Pendragon.
I used to listen to that X-Men one.
Jay and Miles, or Jay and what did Miles change? Or Jay changed her name? I can't remember. One of them is that the one you're talking about?
I listened to that a long time ago, and then it just got too tedious.
Yeah,
for me. They would talk about all the stupid things,
right?
Like, it was tremendous.
Well, I used to like that podcast, but like then, I don't know if it's the same problem for you, not unlike us, where the preamble before they got to whatever they were talking about just got longer and longer. And it's like they're like an hour and 15 minutes into talking about how their friend came to visit. It's like, can we really talk about Doug Locke?
I mean, we
Pete Wisdom, because that's why I'm here.
Two episodes ago, we spent 20 minutes on how Gogs roasts Three Musketeers.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
I was promised talk about Cyber, and I have not heard anything about Cyber yet.
The Wolverine villain?
Yes.
Dude, Cyber was cool. Honestly, was he? No.
Yeah, did you ever read that like Sam Keith?
That's Cyber? Exactly what I was. Exactly what I was talking about. It's in Marvel Comics Presents, and I don't know. I'm not going to say it was like my first comic, but it was definitely like one of my early comics. And like Sam Keith's artwork just fucking blew me away.
Wolverine's one of my favorite things ever.
Sam Keith is like, I know people love him, but I still feel like he's kind of underrated as like an artist and a writer. Friends of the Max. I will say this, Friends of the Max is one of the most underrated comic book series in the history.
I have the Max, hardcover edition and the DVD set.
Hell yeah.
Max is great.
I love the Max.
Anyway,
Alec,
what was your favorite part of Meteor Man?
Thank you, Sean.
No, that's TJ's bit.
No, you just said it, so I don't need to say it again.
Alec, was your favorite part of Meteor Man?
The Meteor?
The theatricality.
Oh yeah, good one.
Yes, it was the acting.
Yeah. Acting?
To use a Seanism, they were acting in this, like, for real.
Yeah, we got to patent that.
My favorite part was,
or his unhinged mom.
She was something. She was some, like, she loved.
Also, they do the thing I hate in sewing. Superhero movies. I guess they invented it, though. They go from, like, the bag and sack costume, and somehow she sews this, like, jet-molded costume.
Right.
Like, but is not shown how that happened.
Alec, what was your favorite part? I didn't catch that.
Probably how unhinged his mom was and how much cackling she did. She loves sewing costumes.
Yeah.
That's, she, like, she must have missed her calling as, like, a drama nerd or something. Because every time she was sewing, she was laughing like an absolute maniac.
I did love the suit that had the Polaroid cameras on it. And he's like, don't have proof. He takes the picture. I have proof now. Like, that was so dumb, but it was awesome.
I think that's probably like the best line for this whole movie. It's so dumb, but it's awesome.
Again, yeah. Though, it speaks to what I was talking about earlier. It's really, really silly. And, like, I need more silly in this movie. Like, it's goofy as hell, but it's like everything in this movie is fucking stupid. And, like, the movie doesn't realize it. Or, like,
I know for a movie called Meteor Man, like, I'm saying a lot here, but the movie's almost too subtle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think he realizes it's ridiculous, but it's, like, very restrained.
Yeah, I totally agree. Five knuckle shuffle time, I guess. Sean.
It's a 6.
Yeah.
Like, I like everybody in this movie. Their performances are questionable most of the time, except for his mom, who's fucking killing the game. Like, I appreciate what they're doing. I like that it's something that you weren't getting, you know, not only a superhero movie, but a superhero movie with a pretty much all black cast. Like, there's that one white guy.
There's Wallace Shawn.
But they never, like, I guess it's hard because they don't address, like, the real problem, like capitalism and why the city's like that. It's not necessarily the street gangs. The gang is ridiculous. Everything's ridiculous, but like TJ has said, it's just like they just got to turn the screw a little bit. You know what I mean? Karate Larry is fucking hysterical. Like, I need more Karate Larry and less, like,
Karate Larry, the little kids, the fucking slinky, like, the dumb shit.
Yeah.
Give me more dumb shit.
Less zoning meetings. Like, those meetings, you could have done something else, because I get the point of it, and they want them to do too much shit, but, like, it just kills the movie stone dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, I like it. It's not a badly written movie. It's not like I'm groaning at it, like, oh, this sucks. It's just a little soft and a little bit boring in parts. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know where he has every superpower and things that aren't even superpowers. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff you could have done with it. And they kind of just made a movie. You know what I mean? I know that's a stupid thing to say, but it's just sure, like, we finished it. It's done. That's how I kind of felt about it. But, Alec.
In my head, this is like a 6, but in my heart, it's like a 10.
Right.
Like, I watched this movie at least 20 to 30 times when it would show up on like HBO and shit when I was younger. Like, I wouldn't say I had it memorized because there were a lot of things I was like, oh, I forgot about that. But I definitely remembered like most of the key beats to it. And I loved this movie so much when I was a kid. It came out when I was like 10 years old. But damn, it does have problems, and it is paced very poorly, and Robert Townsend is not good at all.
No,
he's good at the parts where he's supposed to be like sad and pensive, but when he's supposed to be like exuberant and like enthusiastic, he still seems sad and pensive.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then like,
that's a good way to put it.
They have the Clark Kent Superman thing where like people are like, oh, it's you, but he did nothing. To like change his look.
Not even. At least Eddie Griffin had that mask.
It was all based on the fact that everybody knows that he's like a wimp. And even at one point, the lords come to like his school when he's powered to attack him, and he just pretends he doesn't have power. So like, oh, you're a wimp. Like, never mind. We'll just let you go. Sorry for the mistake, sir. The Golden Lord's tremendous. Like, what a fucking look. Lord, God, Lord. That look is so, so good.
Yeah.
Fucking, what's his name? Don Cheadle's got Goldilocks embroidered on his, on his silk jacket.
They're like a gang from Greece.
Yeah. Rocks. Like, that look is fire. I can see why they stole it for Demolition Man, because it is tremendous. Yeah, I guess I'll have to give it like a 7.
Yeah, fair.
Like, I'll kind of split the difference almost. Like, I recognize its flaws, but I still love this movie, and I can't objectively, like, rate it where it probably needs to be.
So,
and for some of the things that Sean said, like, there were no black superhero movies then. There weren't many superhero movies, period, then. Like, the ones you had were, like, the Punisher, the Dolph Lundgren Punisher, where it's not a hero. He's just a comic book character who kills people. Spawn was right around the same time. I don't know if it was before or after,
right around the same time.
All the comics you got weren't, like, all the comic book movies you got weren't, like, superheroes. And for how bad it looks, it's still trying to be, like, a optimistic superhero movie. Which I can appreciate with an all black cast, pretty much. You got Wallace Shawn, the head crime syndicate guy, and then a bunch of the cops and the shootout with the Bloods and the Crips, which, let me say, Meteor Man brought peace between the Bloods and the Crips just by saying, hey, let's stop shooting each other. Right, let's plant a garden. And he planted a garden and they all were happy and there was
I forgot about the garden. What are they supposed to do with that tomato? Like, they better make corn, sauce out of it.
That corn is, like, the size of 4 people. Like, a kernel feeds a family for, like, 2 or 3 days. You think they should have had a scene where him walking by and be like, whoops.
Yeah.
This is very unwieldy.
No, couldn't they have had, like, heat vision and exploded that giant corn? Like, that would have been something.
Or made it into a huge popcorn thing.
Yeah.
That would last longer. It wouldn't rot. Oh, man.
Throw a pie.
Yeah.
Oh shit! We got to read Goggs's review. Fuck, I forgot.
Well, here, Goggs.
Hold on, I gotta pull it up.
Okay, then TJ.
It's a 6 for me, dog. I you know,
you want to give it more.
I want to give it like an 8. I want to really like it, but it kind of sucks. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's like, I think Sean said it when he opened, we're saying it's like very close to being like a classic. Like, it's very fun in theory. And like, again, I keep harping back on the same thing. Like, I feel like with a different lead and a couple of different choices as far as the direction goes, I think this could have been a real fun movie. But like, it kind of wants to be too serious and it kind of ruins the movie. And the lead, Robert Townsend, who, again, I admit is a funny, talented guy, is just not charismatic in this movie at all. And you can do the fucking, like, you know, nerd that gets superpowers, make it a fucking, like, a Spider-Man kind of analog instead of a Superman analog. That could be something. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's full of stuff that it's certainly not boring and it's certainly not unmemorable. I mean, again, the child gang is hilarious. The tiered membership of the gang is fucking hysterical to me.
It's like an MLM. It's like, right. You have to pay a certain amount to get to certain tiers of gang membership of the gang.
Oh, we text way too much. Where the fuck is the...
He just said it like an hour or two ago. Give me that far back.
Are you in the wrong us thread or the us plus Nate thread?
I'm in the us plus Nate thread, which is more important to me. Hope you're listening.
Nate. Yeah.
All right.
Very rarely use the us thread.
Yeah. That's just for the show.
Nate has achieved Prime Lord membership in the group chat.
All right. So this
Nate's
is
our, Nate's our golden lord.
This is the Goggs review. Van has a oh no. Meteor Man is a 6. It's the pre-Fergie Black Eyed Pea version of consciousness hip hop made it into the movie. Do the right thing for weebs and nerds. All right, that's pretty good. Most of it doesn't make sense, but it's inoffensive. Need a Key and Peele remake with Peele as Meteor Man and Key as Simon. You know what? It's not a bad idea.
Mike, no, do it with Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan. What's it?
Oh, he's already got a pick. I'm overriding his pick. I have a better pick.
I had one too. So,
oh shit, you got one too? Fuck.
We'll compare.
All right. So that's he didn't give it. Did he give it a score? Did I say
yeah, six? Six. You six. Said it.
More right there. All right. So that's Meteor Man. Can I say my pick? Because I went deep.
You didn't give. Oh, did you give?
I gave it. I also gave it a
score. Yeah.
So in this movie, the guy that plays the other crime boss is none other than Frank Gorshin, who played the Riddler in Batman.
Oh shit! Yeah.
But he also played Dr. Fletcher in 12 Monkeys.
So oh hell yeah! That's 12 a good
Monkeys
pick.
Is my pick.
Yeah. We already watched that. You
know. What did we?
Yeah, a long time ago.
No did shit. We?
I thought so.
Did we watch 12 Monkeys on the show?
I'm like 90% sure we did.
All right, I will default my pick then.
Oh, you can tell Nate, and Nate will be able to confirm because he knows everything we've done.
Nah, it's all right. Sean said he has a pick anyway.
Well, I was going to pick Hollywood Shuffle, but I don't know. I guess we can give Gog's Conan, but I guarantee the movie's boring as piss. I haven't seen it in years, but...
All right.
The other pick was Streets of Fire, which we already did, but Robert Townsend is also in Streets of Fire for
did
5 minutes.
Watch 12 Monkeys? I feel like you
I don't think
right.
we did.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. Who knows?
I know we've talked about it a lot.
It's all right. Let's do Conan.
We watched Monkey Bone.
We'll do Gogs' pick. We'll do Conan the Barbarian.
12 Monkey Bones.
12 Monkey Bones.
Control F on the thing and type in monkey.
Yeah, I'm just going to blank out this whole part of the show and just put Conan the Barbarian. It's my favorite team, the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, boys.
All right, everybody, that's the show. We'll see you next week. Get ready for the, what is it, the Lamentations of the Women or whatever Conan says.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, that's the show. Right. Bye-bye.
Later, boys.
Eat your own ass. You know it. Bye-bye.